As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
They announced our Politics and Pints event this morning on the Kale and Company show. So it's going to be on May 6th in Phoenixville. And it's going to be all the hosts on the stage. So get your tickets by going to 1210WPHT.com and do that before it sells out. Okay, we're going to talk about Trump's first 100 days, May 6th in Phoenixville. All right, there you go. Now, we are expecting the president to sign some executive orders. If we do, if it happens, we'll bring it to you live. Because obviously, whenever the press gets an opportunity to go into the Oval Office with the president, I think it's important for you to hear this, but we have a lot to do today. We have a lot to get to. We have some great guests coming up as well, including a guy who is an expert on all things related to Crossfire Hurricane and all the nonsense that occurred with the Obama and Biden administrations and the Clintons and everything they did to try to bring down Donald Trump using Russia as the impetus to do that. So we're going to have that conversation as well today on the show. And, you know, watching all this with this Maryland man, the Maryland man, as the media coins him, the Maryland man, he's not from Maryland. So it's like it's deceptive in how the media keeps saying that Maryland man, this guy was deported. But that case is about to go to the Supreme Court. A judge has just blocked the president deporting 500,000 people. Caroline Leavitt said today, we're going to follow all of the rulings by the court. But again, this is more judicial lawfare against the administration. And of course it is. These judges want to stop Donald Trump at every turn. These judges are auditioning for a spot on the United States Supreme Court. And that's what's happening. And they're going to battle this out until the Supreme Court tells them to stop. And the administration is smart because they're going through the process, and everybody can see how these judges and Democrats now are siding with illegal criminal aliens. I mean, it's insane from a political posture where you want to be on this issue. You got a Democrat senator now who says he's going to fly to El Salvador and personally bring this guy back to the United States of America. This is where the Democrats are. They're literally going to bring gang members back into the country. It's not where you want to be politically. It's really not. They're making fools of themselves. But this is the hill they want to die on, and they're going to keep doing this. And what you're going to see is you're going to see more and more people turning around and coming up and saying to the pollsters that they're not happy with the way the Democrats are behaving in this. This is where we stand in this country right now. And there is a particular point in the polling data that even surprised CNN's polling analyst Harry Enten regarding the state of the Democrat Party. And you know who's back from the dead, allegedly? Joe Biden. He's going to be giving a speech tonight on Social Security. Democrats would rather Joe Biden just disappear. They do not want him coming back like the Cadbury cream egg in time for Easter. They want Joe Biden to go away. That's what they want. They do not want Joe Biden showing up. He's a reminder of the destruction that the Democrat Party finds itself in. And he's a reminder of the fact that they lost. And he's a reminder of the fact that he was a failure as president. He's a reminder of all the things. He should just go to the beach in Delaware and fall asleep and stay asleep for as long as possible and not show his face, politically speaking. But hey, by all means, knock yourself out, Joe. Welcome back to the stage. Welcome back. Kamala Harris is polling abysmally in California, just so you know. Polling abysmally out there as she thinks about running for governor. And she may run and she may win. I don't know. But the Democrats are just in a very, very bad spot. But it could all change. It could all change like that. Because we are a million light years away from midterms. And the impact of the tariffs and the war with China is hitting small businesses hard. It is hitting small businesses. Large manufacturers can weather this stuff. Small businesses are beginning to feel it. So this has to be resolved very quickly. We do not want to have a situation where small businesses have to lay people off, or they have to downsize, or they have to cut production, or they have to raise prices. And if those things happen, we are going to be in trouble. We being the Republicans. You do not want to have the Democrats back in charge. That cannot happen. So something has to get worked out here with China in a big way and quickly, because there are too many American companies that are reliant on China for manufacturing. And what China is doing now is it's going to Vietnam and it's trying to leverage Vietnam against the United States of America. And this could end up very, very badly in terms of the economic implications for small businesses in America. Plus, we have to get the tax cuts passed so that the small businesses can feel the effects of the tax cuts. And we have to make sure that the Trump tax cuts remain permanent. All those things have to happen. OK, it has to happen. Big companies are coming back to America. Yes. And Honda is expanding. Nissan's expanding. NVIDIA is expanding. But there is a pain that small businesses in this country are feeling that they just don't have the ability to weather much longer. And they can't absorb the price increases of the tariffs. And they also can't hire powerful lobbyists to go to Washington and get them an exemption. And they don't have the ability, like Apple does, to be able to get a 90-day or longer extension from their products. And they've been too reliant on China to make their stuff. Absolutely, no doubt about it. But there's still American small businesses that employ people, and we have to figure this out. It has to be done. The good news, though, is that companies are, particularly automakers, are moving their plants to America because they're realizing now it makes perfect sense, and this is the opportunity to do it. For the long run, now's the time. Set up in America. Take advantage of this. One of the big carrots that's being used here, don't forget, is the idea that if they come to America and they build their stuff here, they're going to be subject to a 15% corporate tax rate, which is great. Which is great news for them. So regardless of the tariff stuff, you're going to see these companies are looking to be in America and have a lower corporate tax rate. This is something very similar to what Ireland did many years ago, and it worked for them. So here's Caroline Leavitt announcing that today at the White House, talking about America returning to being a manufacturing superpower again. This is cut number one from today's White House press briefing. Take a listen.
President Trump is turning America into a manufacturing superpower again. Yesterday, there was a monumental announcement by NVIDIA, one of the largest companies in the world. This is just the latest example. For the first time ever, chip-making giant NVIDIA will produce AI supercomputers entirely in the United States as part of its pledge to produce $50 billion worth of AI infrastructure in our country over the next 4 years. With their manufacturing partners, they have commissioned more than 1 million square feet of manufacturing space to build and test NVIDIA Blackwell chips in the great state of Arizona and AI supercomputers in the great state of Texas. NVIDIA's founder and CEO Jensen Huang touted how the engines of the world's AI infrastructure are being built in the United States for the first time. This is the Trump effect. This follows trillions in other U.S. investments announced already, including $500 billion from Apple in U.S.-based manufacturing and training, $100 billion from TSMC in U.S.-based chips manufacturing, and the $500 billion private investment led by OpenAI, Oracle, and SoftBank in artificial intelligence infrastructure. Under President Trump, we're going to produce the cars, the ships, the chips, the airplanes, minerals, and medicines that we need right here in America at the hands of American workers.
All that is great. And those manufacturing companies coming back to America is a very strong thing. Today in the New York Post, they profiled a bunch of small businesses, though, that are hurting because of the tariffs that are imposed on China. So the sooner that we can resolve that, the better. The problem that these companies have, though, is that they should try to manufacture someplace other than China. And this should be a wake-up call for them because China's also ripping them off at the very same time. And it's making knockoffs of their products that they are paying the Chinese factories to build. And then they're selling those same products on Amazon and other places like that. So what these companies should do is they should use this as an opportunity, but they can't just flip on a dime small businesses and just start manufacturing in the United States of America. They don't have the capacity to be able to do that. So we have to figure out something to work on that in the short term so that we don't have small businesses closing, because we cannot allow that to happen. The political ramifications of that, if we have small businesses closing up or layoffs or anything like that, then all the love and support that Trump got from the average everyday American worker in this country, that's going to go down in a big way. Before midterm elections, you don't want that to happen. Because if the Democrats get in charge, you know what they're going to do. They're going to impeach him again. It's going to be the same, and nothing will get done. I mean, nothing. It'll be a standstill, and it will be the end. And his term will not be a success because they will be able to get in there and just stop him at every turn. And Doge, forget about everything. That whatever they're able to achieve by January of 2027, that's it. We don't want a situation like that. Because then you're going to just effectively then the last 2 years of his presidency will be for naught. So that has to get worked out. And I think that the idea with China is very simple. They need to compete in America. They need to be able to sell their products in America. They have to do this. They have to come to the table. They're talking very, very tough right now. But at the end of the day, China needs to be here in the United States of America, and they need to be doing their manufacturing here. And I don't agree with the notion that says that these big companies can't manufacture here. I think these big companies absolutely can manufacture here. If you are a big Fortune 500 or Fortune 100 company, absolutely. And it would make all the sense in the world to start building manufacturing plants in the United States of America. If nothing else, just take advantage of the 15% corporate tax rate and the fact you're not going to have any tariffs whatsoever on your products. So even if you're a foreign company, like Honda or Nissan or something else, you build in America, you don't have to worry about tariffs. That's a really smart move. Really smart move. So there's no doubt about that. That's what they should do. But as you look at the details of China and as you think about what they're doing, and right now going after the critical rare earth minerals that China's doing, something that every administration has talked about, but nobody's actually done anything about this. You think about how quickly China can cut off everything to the United States of America. They've suspended exports of certain rare earth minerals and magnets that are crucial for the world's car, semiconductor, and aerospace industries. Now, what's to stop them from shutting off antibiotics or medical supplies, machines that are needed for hospitals or anything else? Nothing, absolutely nothing. And this is what I mean. We need to use this as an opportunity to divest from China. We are too reliant on them. Our small businesses are too reliant on them. American consumers are too reliant on China. We all are. And just like that, they can turn off the spigot. Just like that. Whatever it is. Rare earth minerals, magnets, things that you never would think of before. And then it's not that we can't get those in other places in the world. We can, but it may take more time. It may be more expensive. The supply chain may be impacted. And I know it's crazy, but before you know it, we're going to be talking about Christmas again. So it has to get worked out. But American companies and European companies as well should really look at this as a gigantic shot across the bow. Because what happens if there's another, God forbid, global pandemic, which there will be at some point because China's still cooking things up in those laboratories. And COVID was not an accident, and it wasn't because it was an undercooked bat burger with a side of penguin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. And I don't think there's anything to stop China from doing another bioweapon. Now, that one was viral. But let's say there's an antibiotic breakout of some kind, and we're relying on China for the production of amoxicillin or whatever it is. Or there's an antibiotic-resistant strain of something, and we're relying on China to make those, and China says, no, we're not going to make them. We're not going to send them to you. What do we do? What does the United States of America do at that point? And this is what we're talking about. The same thing with steel and the same thing with all these rare earth minerals and these the essential magnets and everything else. The United States cannot be so reliant on a communist country that we cannot trust, whose aim is to defeat the United States of America and to have global domination at some point. So they've restricted the export of six heavy rare earth metals, which are refined entirely in China, as well as rare earth magnets, 90% of which are produced in China. The metals and special magnets made with them can now be shipped out of China only with a special export license. But China has barely started setting up a system for issuing the licenses, which has caused consternation among industry executives that the process could drag on and that current supplies of minerals and products outside of China could run low. If factories in Detroit and elsewhere run out of powerful rare earth magnets that could prevent them from assembling cars and other products with electric motors that require these magnets, companies vary widely in the size of their emergency stockpiles, and then they have a problem there. And the other problem we've become is too dependent upon, with all these idiots, Democrats with their policies on electric vehicles and all these batteries that are made in China. And we've talked about this before. We've talked about all these car batteries that are made in China and how dependent upon them we are for that as well. But look, I mean, gasoline powered cars also use electric motors that have rare earth magnets. And then for things like steering, whatnot. I had this conversation the other day with a buddy of mine. I was talking about this. I said, I would love to buy a car that did not have any computer in it whatsoever. I said, like a car from the early 2000s or the 90s, or, and he laughed at me. He said, you got to go back to like the 70s for that. Because I guess we've been using computers and chips and cars since the 80s, really. Nowadays, everything is controlled by a computer. So we literally have an issue where a door doesn't open, and it's a computer issue. It's like a door, a passenger door doesn't open. It's a computer issue because the computer is telling the door to stay open, to stay in the lock position, thinking it's the child safety lock and it's defective. And what the hell happens? I mean, it's crazy. I want to get a 1970s gas guzzling muscle car. I'd look good in that. And chicks would dig me in that. I want to get that, so I don't have to worry about anything. I don't want a fob. I just want keys. You know what I mean? You step on the gas and you go. You don't have to worry about anything that's involving a chip or nothing. But good luck. Good luck finding it. In the meantime, we have become dependent upon China for so much of this when it comes into the manufacturing. Even American cars that are built in the United States of America still have to use a lot of parts that come from China for things like engines, lasers, car headlights, spark plugs, rare earth minerals, metals, electrical components, computer chips, and all these other things, too. And I'm not suggesting we can't get there. We have the ability in this country to find a lot of this stuff, too. But idiots have made policies that do not allow us to explore for rare earth minerals right here in the United States of America, in places like Colorado, for example. I know they're there. We've talked about this before with our buddy Daniel Turner. We've talked about this. But you have idiots who are in power in states, and they turn around and say, no, we're not going to allow you to explore because of whatever excuse they give. And then they make America more dependent upon China for these things. So then that's another problem, too. So then even companies that want to be good actors are dealing with the fact that there are certain components for their vehicles being made in the United States of America that they need these rare earth minerals and metals for. They have to do this. They got to figure this out. They got to figure this out very, very quickly. But China can't go long without doing business in the United States of America. I'm telling you right now, because if they don't, then if they don't figure this, they are going to lose a lot of money. China, for example, makes their money by selling goods to the rest of the world. They are an export-heavy country. They cannot afford to do a protracted trade war. The leverage is on the side of the United States of America. Development of rare earth mineral project from exploration to production can take up to 10 to 15 years. Much of that is because we put in stupid policies in place around the environment that keep the United States from finding these things in our own country. China completes projects faster due to streamlined regulations because they don't give a damn about the environment over there. And they don't have idiots in charge of, they have idiots, but they don't have idiots in charge of policies that restrict them from doing things like mining for rare earth minerals right here in the United States of America. And we have that. Just look at every blue state in the central part of the United States of America where a lot of these rare earth minerals are probably located and think about their policies that restrict it and say, why has this happened? It's the very same reason why you have a moratorium on fracking for natural gas in New York State. Why, if the Marcellus Shale was not so important to the Pennsylvania economy, and if Donald Trump had not won Pennsylvania, and the wrong Democrats had gotten power in Harrisburg, you could easily see Pennsylvania doing something stupid like that, too. So what happens? The United States of America turns around and now we're dependent upon other countries for natural gas, for coal, for oil, and yeah, for rare earth minerals and metals. And this has to be a giant wake-up call for us. Even if when this trade war is resolved, even when we figure this out and the small businesses go back to making their toys in China, they need to start thinking like the Amish. Because the Amish are building things here in America. They're charging more for them, but they're better quality and they don't have to worry about cheap knockoffs. There's a company right in Lancaster County that makes a stove similar to the Solo stove. Now, you may have a Solo stove. They're great. I had one. Somebody gave it to me as a housewarming gift. We moved into our new house. Beautiful. Love it. It's great. I didn't look. I'm not going to reject a gift because it's made in China. I didn't even think about it. I just said, thank you. Put it in the backyard. But I read about this Amish company in the Wall Street Journal, and they are building their stoves, and they have been for years. They're called Breo. Breo Stoves in Lancaster County. And so Solo Stove is hurting right now in a big way. This Amish company is doing okay. They're making about $40 million a year, but they don't make all their parts in America. They're still relying on China for about 10% of the parts that they make, things like screens for the stove and some lids and things like that. They're still relying on China for. As I'm reading about these small businesses in the New York Post today, the toy makers, even if there is a quick exception made for them by the White House, they need to start shifting their production out of China. Everybody does. That's got to be the big lesson here. I'm all for free trade and free markets with countries that we can trust who are allies. And we cannot be dependent upon a country we can't trust who does not have our best interests at stake. And then we become so dependent upon them that they can literally shut off our economy like that. Or they can start a pandemic like that. Or they can cut off the essential life-saving things we need or national security components that we need, because a lot of these rare earth minerals and magnets also go into our weapons systems as well, which is stupid. And we would ever want to use Chinese-made rare earth minerals or Chinese-found rare earth minerals and magnets for our weapons guidance systems, for example, or for our Navy ships or planes. That's stupid. That's dumb. And I know it's going to take time, but everybody should use this time right now, whether the White House gives an exemption to these small businesses or not. And I hope they do, because otherwise a lot of these small businesses are not going to survive, to get us away from being so dependent upon China. I'm not saying we shouldn't do business with China. I think free trade keeps the world at peace. But if they can just cut off the supply to the United States of America on critical things just like that, it's a lesson. If we don't heed it, we will regret it in a big, big way. And maybe that day is here already. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. If you want to weigh in today, we have a lot of things to talk about, a lot to get to, including major details coming out about Crossfire Hurricane, the fake Russia Fugazi plot against Donald Trump. More details are coming out about that. We're going to talk to Tony Schaefer. He's an expert in this stuff, and I'm very, very excited to have him on the show. But I want to tell you about Natural Lawn of America, because this is the time right now for you to start thinking about your lawn. They were here at my house yesterday, taking care of the weeds, taking care of the grass, and they do a beautiful job, and it's guaranteed. See, at Natural Lawn of America, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a local, family-owned American company who's not just going to come to your lawn and spray chemicals and move on to the next house. No, no, no. They're going to come up with a customized treatment plan for your lawn based on their safer organic fertilizers, insect treatment plans, whatever it is. Guaranteed results, safer for the kids, safer for the pets. And every year, Natural Lawn of America will seed your lawn for free as part of their full service program. That overseeding takes care of it for you in a big, big way. So you can rely on Natural Lawn of America to deliver you that lush green grass that you want without the weeds, guaranteed. So call them today, 1-800-FREE-SEED, 1-800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn will be the envy of the neighborhood. Plus, you'll be supporting a local family-owned business, and you'll get great guaranteed results. Everybody wins. Natural Lawn of America, 1-800-FREE-SEED.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have to do that so we can stop the music for the podcast. Matt DeSantis, question for you. Why do you put things in my show sheet that have paywalls? Because I can't friggin' access them.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming based off the text exchange we just had. I apologize. Usually if there's a paywall, I will take a screenshot of the article and post it to our little network, and that way you can access it, and I don't have to worry about the paywall interfering with our show content.
Because yesterday, I screwed up. This was in yesterday's, and I tried opening it. We went back and forth about potentially getting the author. Believe it or not, we actually do prep for this show. I know it's kind of a joke that we don't, because we really don't, but we sort of do, kind of do. And we were texting back and forth about potentially getting the author on. However, we decided against it for other reasons. But I couldn't open it then. I can't open it today. If I couldn't open it yesterday, what do you think I could open it today? Was it Free Tuesday? Free Tuesday at the Free Press?
All right. Well,
for
that one
they made it free.
All right, that one I did take a screenshot of, and it should be accessible now. Yesterday's, I did screw it up yesterday, and then there was a separate article that we were discussing via text a moment ago that I also forgot to screenshot. But that specific
one. Why don't you just sum it up for us? How about that? Instead of worry about screenshots, just what did it say?
All right, well, which one do you want? Because there were two that
care.
We were talking about.
Rare China and if the one you just texted me a few moments ago during the break,
yeah.
You said there was a piece in the Free Press about how if the U.S. tech moves manufacturing out of China.
Yeah, so if the U.S. tech industry moves manufacturing out of China, China will basically lose firsthand access to this cutting-edge technology development, which they've actually become totally reliant upon, because they're able to copy U.S. tech and then use it for their own companies. And the article specifically mentioned Apple as the example. So if Apple were to pull all of its manufacturing out of China due to these tariffs, China is actually going to be harmed significantly, because they're not going to have that firsthand look at how this cutting edge iPhone is developed.
And by the way, I don't think we want them to have the first look at how the cutting edge iPhone is developed, considering how much of this bleeds over into our own national security. I mean, every person has an iPhone, including the president. You know what I mean? I don't think we want China to have first crack. And then they steal it. They use it for their stuff and they make knockoffs of this. And then the other thing, too, is that if they get first look at it, that also means they could theoretically find a way to manipulate it if necessary. And we've talked about this before, that kill switch they could theoretically flip and hack into our digital network, which apparently they say they have the capability to do. So it's a big problem going forward. So how long would it take, according to the article that I can't get into because it's a paywall and I'm too freaking cheap to pay for it, to move the manufacturing away from China? And where could we do it? Could we do it in the United States? Is that in the article?
So there's the downside. The U.S. does not have the numbers necessary in terms of skilled workers capable of piecing together these iPhones. It would require hundreds of thousands of people that just don't possess the skill set in the United States. The other downside is if its manufacturing is shifted entirely to the U.S., it would cost roughly $3,500 per iPhone. It's also... it just doesn't seem as though it's possible for the U.S. to adopt all of this iPhone manufacturing, not only because a large portion of it takes place in China, but apparently there are 40 other countries involved in the development process. So to make it in-house, it just doesn't seem feasible. Although you could expand production into India, which I think is what Apple is doing right now.
Yeah, which makes sense because India and China hate each other. They border each other, but they hate each other. They're both nuclear powers. And they don't like each other. So this is an opportunity for us to be able to utilize India for help in building these things. But if all these other countries are involved, it seems as if then putting China out of it and utilizing those other companies to help out, and then we make maybe a certain portion in America, we finish it in America, put the freaking glass screens on in America. I mean, maybe we could at least do that. You know, we could at least maybe put the screen on or something. I don't know. Slap an Apple sticker on the back of it. I don't know.
The other thing worth mentioning is that Modi, the Prime Minister of India, him and Trump seem to get along pretty well. So that could help.
They do get along. And it'd be nice if there was an announcement made about the United States and India reaching a trade deal. And, you know, Bessent keeps teasing about this. The Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, he keeps teasing, but I'd like to see it announced. That would be a big deal. That would be a huge deal. But this is a tough day for you, DeSantis. Not only are you getting grief from me for the fact that I got to pay for articles in my own prep.
Sorry.
But now Harvard is going to get a $2 billion freeze because of the Trump administration. You, as the former mascot to Harvard, this is a tough day for you.
Well, okay, it's not that tough a day for me. I was not the mascot at Harvard, but this is now the second university that's been seen quite a few dollars stripped away from it from the Trump administration that I've been affiliated with. Harvard down $2.2 billion, Johns Hopkins down $800 million. Rough day for my schools.
You ever think you're the problem, DeSantis? You ever think that maybe it's you?
It does seem as though I'm being targeted specifically. But Harvard will be totally fine. They've got $50 billion in endowment. The $2.2 billion, I don't know.
Yeah, and Harvard's response to the administration is cute. Like, they have some sort of a constitutional right to get funding. Which I checked the Constitution. That's not in there. Yeah.
No.
right after the dastardly deeds done dirt cheap clause of the Constitution is the Harvard shall get federal money clause of the Constitution. Apparently, it's Amendment 47 or something like that.
Yeah, they have no right to it. And I find it weird that there's a ton of tax dollars going to a school with a $50 billion endowment anyway. I know why Harvard and Hopkins have so much money going towards them. I would assume it has to do with research funding primarily, but I also question how much of that money actually ends up in productive research versus how much of it ends up in, you know, just being wasted.
Yeah, going to NGOs and being wasted on things like trans mice, trans lab rats, experimenting on what happens when you cut a little mouse's junk off, things like that, you know. Well, we'll see where all that goes. But Caroline Leavitt responded to that today. Do we have Ducey asking her about why these places all get money?
We do. It's cut 22.
All right. This is cut 22. The Deuce, Peter Ducey, today at the White House press conference, asking the White House press secretary a very good question. It's a question that I've pondered for a long time as well. Why do these Ivy League schools get so much federal funding? Take a listen.
To follow up on something that you just said, why do Ivy League schools get so much federal funding?
It's a very good question, and it's a question the president has obviously raised in his discussions and negotiations with not just Harvard, but also Columbia and many other Ivy League institutions. We have the Anti-Semitism Task Force, which the president promised and delivered on. The Anti-Semitism Task Force is across the government, representatives from various federal agencies who meet on a weekly basis to discuss the question that you just raised. And I think a lot of Americans are wondering why their tax dollars are going to these universities when they are not only indoctrinating our nation's students, but also allowing such egregious illegal behavior to occur.
You know, in thinking about this, too, and I was on Newsmax this morning, shameless plug, and Newsmax this afternoon, shameless plug, and thinking about this, and I said, the president's right to take this on because Americans have watched as our money has gone to these universities and they have skyrocketed tuition rates. There's nothing that stops Harvard from being completely independent from the government, like Hillsdale College, taking no government money whatsoever and just being completely independent. Nothing stops them from that. They don't have to take the money. None of these schools have to take money. They don't have to do that. They choose to, and they choose to get research grants and all the other things, but they don't have to. There's plenty of private organizations out there that can fund research projects. This idea that the government is just this cash cow that keeps on giving and giving and giving, and then these Ivy League schools turn around and say, how dare you cut off our funding? How dare you not admit me? I mean, today's tax day. I'm paying my taxes today, explaining to my children how taxation is theft, by the way, because I'm a good father and I want them prepared for real life. So that's what I told my 10-year-old son as I was writing the checks today to the IRS. Taxation is theft. And I said to him, you know, well, I didn't say this to him, but I thought about it. I don't have a right to go to Harvard. There's no constitutional right for me to go to Harvard. And people that go to Harvard will get a wonderful chance in life that many people who don't go to Ivy League schools will get. Ivy League privilege. And it's frustrating to think about my tax dollars going to these elite institutions. And then I would say, okay, if my money's going to their elite institutions, I should be able to get in. I should be able to get a seat there. And then I get nothing. I didn't apply to any Ivy League schools because I didn't want to waste the time, even though I know they would have loved to have had me. I chose to go to state school. But that's not the point. The point is that if Harvard's going to turn around and say it has a right to federal funds, then I would argue that I have a right to go there. I mean, this is the stupidity of this conversation and this argument. It's elite for a reason. It's elite because it doesn't accept everybody. It's elite because it doesn't accept even some of the most successful people just because they happen to be Asian, apparently. And they say no to people all the time for whatever reasons they come up with, and the government can say no to them. And they got more than enough money to be private between their alumni network, their endowment, and all the people that might want to give research grants to say that they've done Harvard research. You know, private companies that are looking to develop something and they can say reviewed by Harvard, whatever it is. I mean, they can slap that label on it. They'd be happy to do that. They could exist. If you don't want to take the money, if you can't do the time, don't take the crime. Can't do the time, don't do the crime. Very, very similar situation here. If you don't like the fact that this administration doesn't like your speech because you have decided to be the speech police and crack down on speech and lie to the American people and cover things up, like our friend Martin Kaldorf has pointed out, you know, Harvard has been the epicenter of disinformation and censorship for years. And we'll get Kaldorf on the show to talk about that in further detail, but particularly during COVID, they were all in on that, of silencing ideas and putting out dissent and squashing dissent. They were all in. So if you're going to be the speech police, and then when it comes back to bite you, don't complain. Or if you complain, say, well, that's what you get because you tolerated some speech and not others. You decided to throw people out because they misgendered somebody, but not because they said death to the Jews. Well, guess what? If you're going to decide that some speech is punishable, then you're going to be held to account for what speech you allow. If you're not going to be crystal clear on all speech is allowed, all speech period, then this is what you get. You reap what you sow. And the best answer is divest from the federal government. Have no part of it. Take no money. Take no federal funds. Kids can still go there on scholarships that are backed by the United States government, although that's a topic for another show that we probably should get into at some point, which we've done in the past. But you don't have to directly take the government money. Be independent, be free, like Hillsdale College does, so that they don't have to worry about it. They don't have to worry about agendas. And up until now, Harvard didn't have a problem with any of the agendas that were being pushed by previous administrations. Like, none of these Ivy League schools were complaining when Joe Biden was rewriting Title IX to say biological men had to be able to compete in women's sports. None of them complained. Now they're complaining and acting as if this money's a right. This money's not a right. There's nothing that says you have a right to get taxpayer dollars, Harvard. Nobody has a right to get government money because it's my money, not the government's. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Dr. Mike Veneria, great guy, great friend, the master of dental implants. Spring is here, which means we're right around the corner from graduation season. all kinds of beautiful memories, vacations, weddings. How's your smile doing? Does it need an improvement? Dr. Mike's the guy to go see. If you need something complicated like a dental implant, Dr. Mike Venaria has been ranked among his peers as a master of dental implants for over 10 years, 10 consecutive years. With two locations for his patients, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, both right over the bridge, easy to get to. The staff is wonderful and caring. Great music playing in the office. The level of care is second to none. And you also should go to the dentist because your dental health matters to your overall health. There's a tie into your heart health, to your gut microbiome. So many of these things of the human body, they're finding more and more interconnected. So if you've not been to a dentist in a while, make an appointment. All you got to do is go to VenariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com, or call 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. He's my buddy. He's my dentist. He's my friend. He's the master of dental implants. Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
America has a university problem. It does. The universities have become indoctrination camps, and they take foreign students from all over the world, and they educate them, and they get degrees, and then Americans have to compete against those people. So I have no problem with them losing money. I don't want them to get any of my money. I'm really tired of all the redistribution of money. You know, it's funny, when you start trying to explain on tax day to your children how taxation is theft, when the government takes your money and then acts like it's its own money and then pushes it out there. And you know, this story about, for example, Lucy the elephant in Margate. You know, there was a wording about this that really bugged me. They talk about how the money that Doge is cutting up. Matt, do we still have the news story from this from yesterday by any chance? We do, Justin? All right, cut 18. So Lucy, if you're familiar with Margate, you know what I'm talking about. It's a big freaking elephant, right? It's a National Historic Landmark, and they spent millions patching up the elephant a couple years ago, but apparently they need millions more. Listen to this news report from, I think this is NBC 10 on this. Take a listen.
Margate's beloved Lucy the elephant has become the latest target of the Department of Government Efficiency. Lucy's executive director says Doge is cutting $500,000 from the 145-year-old National Historic Landmark. The money was a discretionary fund gift from Senator Cory Booker. He says the money was going to be used for renovations, including air conditioning and fire suppression systems. The director says he'll likely turn to fundraising to keep Lucy running.
Did you catch it? Discretionary fund gift by Senator Cory Booker. I'm sorry, was this Cory Booker's money? Did Cory Booker write a check to Lucy the elephant? No? Discretionary fund gift from Senator Cory Booker. See? What these friggin' politicians do, these crooks and thieves, they take my money, they take your money, then they redistribute it, and they redistribute it, and they turn around and take credit for it and pat themselves on the back and act like it's theirs. Like they're giving it out of their generosity. And then what does the corporate media do? They dutifully go out there and report that. It was a gift from Cory Booker. No, it wasn't. It's not a gift from Cory Booker. It's a gift from the taxpayers that guy was able to maneuver using the levers of Washington to redistribute to your project, which last time I checked has no bearing on my life. Like so many other things that the money goes to, but he gets the credit for it so that when they finally rehabilitate Lucy, if this money had stayed in place, then Cory Booker could go down there and cut the ribbon, get the big scissors, and everybody can thank him and thank the congressman or whoever, bring home the bacon. Look at you. Such a scam. It's such a scam. And that a discretionary fund gift from Senator Cory Booker. No, a gift is when I buy a toaster for somebody for their wedding. Not that I would give them a toaster. I mean, I'm Italian. I give cash, but that's a gift. Comes out of my money. Okay, if it's money from the taxpayers, that's not a gift. That means that you have taken my money and you've redistributed it for another purpose. That purpose could be a purpose you agree with or not, but it's not your money, so therefore it doesn't make it a gift. Got it? Good. Whether you want the freaking elephant renovated or not is not the point. It's not a gift from Cory Booker. Unless Cory Booker's writing the check, it's not a gift from Cory Booker. Period. All right. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Obama, Barack Obama says Harvard set an example for how colleges should reject Trump's demands. Reject the demands and reject the money. Therefore, go ahead. There you go. Fine. I have no problem with that. Reject his demands and reject the money at the same time. Knock yourself out. Everybody wins. Fine with me. We'll talk about that coming up straight ahead as the show goes on. Let's get into Operation Crossfire Hurricane. What we've learned as the FBI Director Kash Patel has released over 700 different documents that were previously classified. We're going to talk to the man who knows this best. Dr. Mike Venere is the sponsor of this hour, our big story sponsor. Go see Dr. Mike today for your perfect smile. If you've been putting off getting that dental procedure, don't put it off anymore. Go see Dr. Mike today by going to VenereaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenereaDental.com. Coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.